Yes, I see that there is a Mr. Tom Berry on that first slide. So first and foremost, Tom Berry is the CEO and co-founder of Investor Loan Source. He is known to do market updates and investment updates. He does it yearly. So this is actually his presentation. He's sorry he couldn't be here today. But as that mouthful said, I do quite a bit for Investor Loan Source. I'm actually the origination manager in the office, and I am the lead brand rep that goes out and sees at all your smiling faces, who I appreciate you guys sticking around for Sunday to come see me. I greatly appreciate it. This presentation is over investing in uncertain times, so something I think we're currently in, if we can agree, right? So I want to get started. My first slide is actually going to be some current events. So we have now seen 40 year or inflation we have not seen in over 40 years. For me, that would be, well, I'm a little bit younger than that, so I've never seen inflation until now. Let's be honest. But it's a little scary, right? Something you haven't seen in 40 years. But here's the thing. The Fed funds rates have increased, and they continue to stack. In the last month, they raised them yet again for the third time by 0.75 points. Are they stopping? Probably not soon. But then we have our mortgage and commercial lending rates that are continuing to increase. So, for instance, commercial lending and DSCR loans, and basically debt service coverage ratio loans, for those that don't know that, we'll get more into that later. But those have now gone up to 7%. Not long ago, you could get those in the fours and the fives, guys. We're at 7% on average for investing market. On the housing market, that's also cooling. You are seeing rates in the threes to low fours. We are now over 6%. 6.29, I believe, to be exact, if I'm not mistaken. It is cooling. So, a fun thing that I heard the other day was on the housing market cooling. It was a headline in the news. Housing market crumbling. Guys, be careful what you read in the headlines. Read the story. So when you actually delved into it, I forget which market it was, but when you actually dived into it, basically what it was saying is their time on market had doubled. That's not good. Problem was, it went from 1 month to 2 months. If I'm not mistaken, an average day on market before the pandemic was about 90 days, 3 months in most markets. So we're not even at average, guys. Yeah, we're crumbling. So the next one is the credit card debt is rising. Basically what that means, we all use credit cards, but we usually tend to pay them off pretty quickly. We're not getting paid off as quickly. They're basically, debt's just going up and up and up and up, and so is that inflation right along with it. Another unique thing is unpaid utilities. They have doubled in the last year. I know personally I currently have rentals, trying to put new tenants in after I had to evict, unfortunately. And the center point is now telling me I have to wait 10 days to make sure there's no affiliation. You think they're not hurting for money too? They are also hurting for money. And if any of y'all's electricity bills went up from last year, I'm sure they did. I know mine did. So just keep that in mind. These are all things that are currently happening. They're facts. They're not there to scare you. Just kind of there to, hey, this is what's going on. Next one is, well, everything points to a recession, right? How many of y'all think we're in a recession right now? All y'all's hands should be up. So everything says we're in a recession. Inflation's up, everything, jobs low. But here's the problem. Unemployment's not low, or it is low, excuse me. Unemployment's not high. So we have low employment, but we still have 10 to 11 million unfilled jobs. We have the reason, well, low labor participation. So how many of you guys been to a restaurant lately, or a bar, and basically they can only have half the restaurant open, or their lack of servers? Say, my coworker and I just flew in through the Chicago airport. For lunch, we sat down. They had two-thirds of the restaurant closed because they had two waitresses and two people at the bar. So, lack of low participation. I know people are happy with their government pay, and they want to be that Insta-famous, and they're making their money somehow, but we need people back in the job market. And, oh, absolutely. I'm glad I have some of my own, because otherwise that and material. So we'll get into that more in a little bit. And then on top of that, just outside of everything else, we also still have massive layoffs. And those are in different sectors, don't get me wrong. Those are going to be in your tech sectors. That's not why. Your mortgage sectors. So we're still having massive layoffs. So all the data so far is doing a lot of this. Nothing's pointing in the same direction, so we're in a little uncertain times. So let's go over some, basically, what will happen in the next various markets. So kind of going to your point, we're going to start, though, with Danielle now. I don't know about you guys. I do not have a crystal ball. And like I just said, all the data that we're going to be looking at today is going in opposite directions. Nothing's going in the same direction to actually be certain about anything. And if anybody says they do know, sorry, they're full of some horse manure. Because there's no way of knowing where we're going to end up. So you can make some judgment calls, and we'll go over some variations and some likely scenarios of where we could land. But there is no absolutes. Is there ever absolutes in real estate? Okay. So let's look at some likely scenarios, okay? So every year, the two owners of our company sit down. They go through their P&Ls. They go through all of their data, and they come up with kind of where they're at. But they also do this. What is the likely market scenario, and would it be good for our business and yours? So these are the top three they came up with, no particular order. I'd say there's no favorites up there. There's definitely no particular order. But high inflation, high interest, and high unemployment is one of the options. The center one is high inflation, high interest rates, low unemployment. And the very last one, which I think is a little bit more likely, and just in my opinion, is high inflation, average interest rates, and low unemployment. So we currently sit at high inflation, low interest rates, and low unemployment. I know some of you are like, low interest rates? What is she smoking? So here's the thing. I myself have not been through a full market cycle. Like I said, I've been investing for 7 years. A full market cycle is roughly about 10 to 15 years, depending on recessions and gaps and flows of the market. So, looking at that, this is a 30-year historic diagram going back to about 1972. Yes, ma'am.
I started in 1972. Sometimes 24.
Yep. So, looking at this map, when I say low interest currently, in 1983-ish, 4-ish, that was about 18.7, I believe that was. 18.5% interest was the average interest rate in America. And so when I say low interest rate currently, the past two generations, millennial and Gen Z, have been the largest group of home buyers in this market ever. We have bought more houses than any other generation. But going back to those 1980s, when you're paying 18.5%, do you think people weren't buying houses?
2 years on the market.
You're wrong. Oh, sorry. I didn't hear exactly what you said, but here's the thing. Of course they're buying. They need a house. They need a place to live. They were buying less. Some of us, I mean, I know I have a three-bedroom, three-bath, whatever, house for two people. In the 80s, I guarantee you I would have bought a two-bedroom, small as I can get, because I want the smallest payment that I can get for 18%. No. So the next thing on this that you need to see, I hope you guys can see these gray lines. Those are actually marks of recessions. Those are when major recessions happened. Now, something unique about that you can also see is not one of those lines are longer than 2 years. We are in and out of recessions within 1 to 2 years at a time. Keep that in mind. So, when you're in these current markets and you're getting ready to expand your portfolio, kind of looking at your real estate options, I would recommend holding. I myself, I'm a landlord. I have rental properties. My husband and I are partners. We've been partners for 7 years. We started with flips. Decided didn't really like them. I have an interior design background, but I had the same problem with contractors. If I got them, they were crap. And I didn't want to deal with them anymore, so we went to renting properties. And when you're thinking about that two-year, if you have 2 years, you have that up and down, you have the up and flow of when to buy, when to sell, when to hold, and all of that. Don't you think right now if you're holding a house, why would it matter if you were in a recession? You ain't trying to sell it. You're holding it. And rents are going right up along with it if you're smart. So going to short term, they're a little riskier. In these times of markets, you have people a little bit more scared to purchase. People don't want to pay the interest rates, even though, like I said, these are not even average interest rates. They're high for us, but they're not even average. That's something to keep in mind for you guys that are flippers. So when you guys are getting ready to sell a property, and maybe you have some issues actually selling it, and they're like, oh my gosh, these interest rates, I can't deal. Well, bring this up. Show them the chart or bring it up. But like, we are still on the low average of what we could be at. If you wait, you could pay more. Put a little scare tactic in them. Come on. But it also, you are looking at it, and I'll get to a scenario a little bit later about one of my personal properties that I, even in a rising market, I almost lost money, almost. But I'll tell you why I did it. So the quote on here is, it's hard to catch a falling knife. So actually, I'll tell you the story now. It was my husband and I's first deal we ever did. Mind you, my husband's the engineer. He has to overlook everything, every little minute detail. He doesn't jump at anything. But he put in there, like, our first rehab deal needed to be roughly about $150,000, $10,000, $15,000 in rehab. You know, one of those nice little soft pitch. Well, we ended up finding a deal. The property was 3,400 square feet, so 3,400 square feet. It needed about a $60,000 rehab. Yeah, but here's the thing. We actually got it subject to. We were able to purchase it subject to, pay the current owner out a little bit and take over his bank payments. So we didn't have to put everything in right away. Nice? Everyone know what subject to is in here? I don't always recommend it. Don't tell the bank. But we got into it. We had a partner that actually was the one that found the deal. He brought in his contractor. His contractor quoted us, I believe, $35,000-$40,000. Us being newbies, not knowing any better. Oh, yeah, that sounds great. That's even more profit in our pocket, right? Yeah, you get into a 3,400 square foot house, honey, it ain't $30,000 to $40,000. I can tell you that right now. So we ended up probably at about $75,000 plus, having to do some of the work ourselves because this said contractor, and mind you, guys, if you have a contractor and they're not getting the job done, fire them. Do not be nice. Be like, oh, they'll get it done. They'll do it. I don't have the heart to do it. Fire them. I'm about to say, this business ain't about a heart. Yeah. It's a business. Now, you still do right and wrong. You still carry morals. But it's, at the end of the day, it is a business. Get a contractor in to get it done because at the end of the day, they're screwing you. Mm-hmm. Which is what happened with this. Like I said, we ended up putting way more money in than we thought. It took way longer than it should have. And it got to a point, so mind you, I walked comps with my realtor with exact houses, blocks away from each other, perfect comps, each and every one of them selling for $390 to $420. Easy. Get ready, talk to my realtor, be like, I'm ready, we're ready, it's done, ready to sell. Let's get it on market. Day before we put it on market, we had a little bit of a turn. We went from being able to sell that house for roughly about $390,000, $400,000. I think we ended up selling it for right about $330,000. Because the market in that neighborhood just took a nosedive. And it took roughly 3 months to do it. It is that much of a factor. Markets change at any time. Any time. That's why you gotta buy smart. If we didn't buy it subject to, if we didn't put our own money into it, and yes, I'm a lender. I want you to do loans with us. In that scenario, if I would have had an interest rate loan on that, we would have lost our ass. Pardon my French. But that is the only reason we made money on that property. Lessons learned, that's for sure. So, moving on, there's many other properties, especially larger buildings that have tenants and strong enough for recessionary times. So we recently, Investor Loan Source, the owners recently picked up a building in Rockport, Texas. I don't know about you. I live in Texas, and I still don't know where that is. Yeah, right. But basically, we picked up the shopping center. It has 26 tenants. It is 100% fully occupied. It was a steal. But here's the thing. When we look at commercial deals, so I handle most of the commercial deals in our office. What I'm looking at are a few things. I'm looking at the asset itself. We're asset lenders. Does the asset make sense? Another thing I'm looking at is the profit and loss statements. Is it an actually functioning business that is stable? The other thing I'm looking at is the leases. If the leases are about to expire, so say you're buying it with 75% occupancy, but half of that, their leases are about to expire in a year, guess what you got to do in a year? You got to find tenants. The other thing, what type of tenants are they? In this particular building that we bought, 20% of it was the county courthouse and the county clerk. You think that's recession proof? You think they're going anywhere? Another company in there, insurance company. They're probably gonna survive. It was State Farm, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But know your tenants, know your leases. They will make or break when you're getting, if and when you get into commercial. Yes, ma'am.
When you looked at your tenants, I'll try to speak loud. When you looked at your tenants and said, okay, next year am I gonna have to go get new people or do I raise the rent on the ones I have? What's your response on that?
Depends. Okay. It really is, yet again, it goes to your market. Any chance you have a opportunity that you should raise rates or raise rents and it's reasonable, why wouldn't you? And at the same time, I'm not going to punish my current tenants because I'm unoccupied. That's my fault. That's on me. And I want to keep them too, because if I raise the rents, they're going to leave too. So I'm screwing myself and them. So I don't recommend raising unless it's reasonable and valid. That's just my opinion. Would it be reasonable?
Yeah, $25 to $50 per month.
Absolutely. If it's
$300.
Exactly. If it is a reasonable rent increase that is validated by market, absolutely. It's when she was saying basically if what she was saying, if you have tenants already in the building but you have some unoccupied, would you have them cover some of the burden by raising your rents, if I'm not mistaken how you phrased it? That's what I'm saying no to. But if it's reasonable and necessary, guess what? Everybody knows interest rates are going up. Everybody should understand that. And in a commercial setting, they should know even more. So if they get mad at you about raising it 100 bucks, you don't need them.
Well, and I pay utilities in that building, so guess what?
You have to raise the rent. It is a business. It is not about being nice. It is a business. I'm going to say, you can have your heart on your sleeve. You can take care of them fantastically. That is your job to make sure they're taken care of. But it's their job to pay you. So we kind of already talked about short-term fix and flips, how they may be risky. So my boss and I, we discussed this a few weeks ago, actually, I think before he gave the presentation at Quest. And we're talking about it, and we're like, man, I had $1 million residential fix and flip come across my desk. I called him. I'm like, why in the world would we do this? I go, this, first of all, even in Texas, even in Houston, $1 million house is not selling. It will sit and sit and sit. So that loan will sit and sit and sit. So any of you guys that may be private money investors that do loans for other people, keep that in mind. They're risky. We talked about it. I was like, I'm struggling to go over $500,000 right now. And we're in 25 states. I'm struggling to go over $500,000. Yes, ma'am.
The fact of the matter is, people in that price point want custom.
Yeah.
They'll never know what's in their head.
Correct. That's a fair statement.
But I'm actually going to disagree because, like, California market is...
California is a little different. California is not a state that we're in. So here's the thing. California is always going to be a different market. You guys have insane residential pricing. And I understand, we talked a little bit earlier at the table the other day, I believe. But I say, it's a completely different market. It's like I put up here, from Houston to Dallas is a completely different market. From Cincinnati here to Cleveland are two completely different markets. But yet again, this goes to knowing your market. we are in the Midwest and Southwest, like North, Southeast, excuse me. Let me get my directions straight, my bad. But we are in the states that are much more business and lender friendly. I'm not giving any downplay to you because you have a great plan and model and you know what you're doing there. That's not our playground, that's yours. So it just goes to knowing your market. When I say under a half a million, that's my market. That's my playground. That's where I feel comfortable. That's where the lending company feels comfortable. And we're going to evaluate the property per case, too. So if it is in a different market and we have to go a little bit more and it makes sense. But it's about doing your due diligence and knowing that market and knowing that you can actually sell that property. So going to the long-term commercial, we do offer a three-year stabilized long-term product for a fixed commercial. If you're holding commercial for 2 years, yet again, you are out of the recession period. You're not trying to sell it. If you are, it's a bridge loan. I hope it's recession-proof. We're going to look at it as such. Yet again, it goes back. What is your product or asset? What are your tenants? What are your intentions with the property? Know your intentions, know your market, and follow the market. So this covers a little bit more about different businesses with or without real estate. So Tom, the owner of the company, he loves his Mexican food. The correlation he makes here is, I like to eat, and I like to eat Mexican. I hope that is on the corner at every time because that is what I want to eat. In my mind, that's recession-proof. Is that always the case? Well, in Texas, maybe. We like our Mexican food. But in general, keep in mind anytime you're looking at anything and you're looking at demographics and areas and for case like you, be like, okay, what's around me? What will draw somebody to this location? Is this close to a school? Do I want a family in this house? Is this close to large shopping or not shopping centers, but large business centers? Who's your intended person to be there? Who's your intended seller or buyer? End of the day, that works both for residential and commercial. Who's your intended buyer?
There's a lot of this uncertainty hinging on what happens Tuesday with the upcoming election, and could that clear up a lot of things?
It'll be a little less messy. Yeah. I don't think it'll clear it all up by any means. Still politics. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if the entire government switches parties. It's nothing.
I'd say it can't. There's no possible way to clear up inflation right now. Yeah. We did it to ourselves. Well, the government did it as well. But here's the thing. There will be some answers. There might be some excitement for future changes, but it's not going to change overnight.
Like, what I don't understand is, like, they printed all that money. Like, why are they taking it out on the housing market? Like, why are, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are they market?
Because that's what's making money.
Yeah. Or is the housing market just the first to get hit?
It's the first to get hit, but it's the easiest to hit. It's the easiest to raise interest rates on. It's the easiest to attack. It's one of the largest sectors, basically. It's easier to be like, okay, well, instead of putting it on businesses, which they already screwed once with the pandemic and shutting everybody down, do that again, you're really going to piss some people off. So I am very sorry for you guys here in Ohio, because even in Texas, who's one of the most friendliest landlord states, we couldn't evict for an entire year. You guys already have issues with eviction. We couldn't even try it for a year. We couldn't foreclose on anybody for almost a year and a half. You guys here take 2 years. I cringe anytime if we have to, like, we make sure properties are good in Ohio because we don't want to foreclose on them because we don't want to deal with the 2 years and $10,000 of headache. Oh, we know. but no, it's that nothing's going to change overnight. Absolutely not. Can things get better? Yes. But it's going to take time and a lot of changes and gradual. Everybody agree with that? It's politics. They move at snail's pace. We all know this. So I want to talk a little bit about contending with more of the long-term stuff, value versus cash flow. So everyone knows what a DSCR loan is, a debt service coverage ratio.
No.
No? Okay. So a debt service coverage ratio is basically an evaluation of your property to ensure that it can cash flow. So kind of the down and dirty I personally use for my rentals is you take your all-in rent or your monthly rent divided by the value of the property, taxes, and insurance. And it'll come to like a 0.01 dot, 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 dot. So you move the decimal two. If there is not a one in that third place, you're not even making your monthly payments and covering your escrow. We at ILS have always done DSR loans. That is the only way we opened up our long-term products, I believe, 4 years ago. That is the only time and the only way we opened them, and now at every event this year I've been at, do you do DSCR loans? Do you do DSCR loans? Like, that's all we've ever done because we want to ensure cash flow. We don't want you guys to go upside down or reverse on your loans. That's not our prerogative. But you also have what's called the value play or the appreciation play, as some may call it. Not my jam, but I know a lot of people that's made a lot of money on it. Basically, you have areas that are a little run down or very run down. You don't walk there at night, but you know things are spreading. Or look at Cincinnati, Columbus, Pinkerton, and all of that. You guys just had a massive tech boom, right? Had a lot of tech companies come in. Coming in, exactly. You had a lot of investors that knew that, that started buying up houses, whether they were good value at the time or not, because now they are. And most of them are holding. So yet again, it goes back down to they're holding through the recession. They're going to hold through all of this. And then they're going to sell it. When it comes back onto a peak, most of them are going to sell. And they're going to make a lot of money. That's if you already have money and you have the money to sit there and hold it. Because you could hold it for 3 years, 5 years, 10, well, 20. I've seen people hold. Do they finally end up making it? It's if you can. Do what's right for you. I personally want the cash flow. I'm not out there to make an appreciation play. If I want to make an appreciation play, I'd go back to flipping. I want the mailbox money. I don't know about y'all.
So, are you not able to get a DCR loan if you don't have any debt on the property? Like, is that only a loan?
So a DSCR is, it's the cash flow ratio. It has nothing to do with your equity.
Okay. Could I get a loan from you guys if it's free and clear?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You only 60%. Okay. We do our best to also not over leverage you. So that's why we do 60% on cash outs. Because I don't think anybody should be over leveraged on their properties. Put you in bad situations. Get your money out, use it for whatever you want to use it for, but don't over leverage yourself. Yes, sir. Like I said, my calculation is down and dirty. So when I do it for myself personally, when I'm looking at property, I'm also looking for like a 1.3 to 1.6. Now, in ILS's calculations, what we do, it has a lot of that involved, which is why we require starting at a 1.15 to 1.35, depending on your credit, which we only do soft pulls on, guys. But That's where we're looking at, but good question. But yeah, cash flow is king, guys. Absolutely. We have no loan minimums.
Oh, nice. If you're in the middle to upper middle class range, yep, the loans are over $50,000. If you're in the lower middle to lower, they're...
So you guys can thank yourself for this. We have been at this for 3 years now. We did the one right before COVID, and then we did last year and this year. The one before COVID, we were just getting into your market. We were only in Texas up until probably 5-6 months before that area. You guys all came to us and like, oh, I have this, but it's 25, it's 30, it's this. You guys opened your eyes to, yeah, a lot of people do have minimums. So guess what we did? We have a minimum processing fee of $2,000. I don't care what you pay for your house. We're still doing the same amount of work, so we do expect the same amount of pay. But buy your properties. They make sense in these areas. Absolutely. Yes, sir. They are all recourse loan. They are all recourse. However, we do work very closely with some trust companies to allow you to use your IRA, which we do 5% off the LTV for the guarantee. That's all we can do as far as non-recourse.
As part of this, are you planning on doing a DSCR formula breakdown? Because I still can't get my head around how to calculate.
You're welcome to stop by. Well, what time are we at here? Oh, we're at 1. We're good. You're welcome to stop by the table, and I'll go through it with you. I don't see if there's a whiteboard in here. I may have to do it for you, but we'll just do it at the table. We got plenty of time. We'll have plenty of time for questions, even more. So I went through it a little quicker than initially, but we'll go ahead. And so we talked about due diligence. Yet again, nobody's a genius, or everyone's a genius in a rising market. When houses were selling in 2 days or a day, like you merely get it listed before it's gone, everybody's a genius. Not anymore. But we did have a rising market for over 13 years. That's why market cycles are usually 10 to 15 years, or investor cycles are 10 to 15 years. I've been in for 7. I haven't experienced one. I know a couple people in here have experienced them. But it's a very interchangeable space. You'll see a lot of people come and go, and you'll see the true vets that stick around that you want to get to know, because they know a lot more than you do, I promise.
And people who get out want to get out, so there'll be some good purchase.
Yep. Absolutely. Those are the ones we like. Those are we like to call them tired landlords or tired investors that basically got themselves in a pickle and need help out. But if you follow market, you do your due diligence. Don't make hasty calls. I mean, obviously, I know that wholesaler down the street wants an answer in 2 seconds. Guys, wholesale prices are ridiculous. They have been for years, and they're even more so now. Unless you're personally working with a wholesaler that you know personally, I have a guy that finds me houses. He knows exactly where I buy. He knows exactly my price point. He knows what I'm looking for. He knows if it's outside that box, don't bother. If it is in that box, I'm buying it. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or questions about it. Find those wholesalers. Find those wholesalers that actually ask you questions. Not be, can you get on my buying list? Can you get on my buying list? Can you get on my buying list? I want you to get on my buying list. You want the ones, okay, so where do you buy? What price range? What are your intentions? What are you looking for? If I find one in this area, would you buy it? And be ready to make that purchase and make that relationship and that bond, because it'll get you a lot farther than your junk-filled emails. Let's see here. No. So it boils down to the people. I said I've already made that wholesaler relationship. But so if you and you already work together and you wanted to do a loan with her, would you not want to know some relationship, some bond before you're like, oh yeah, I'll loan you money in 2 seconds. Absolutely, you got a deal, you got money. It's about relationships in this business. It is 100% about relationships. So yes, this area is amazing for education, but you should be networking in the hallways, getting to know each other, finding out who does what, who can assist what. And don't always approach somebody needing somebody. If you overhear a conversation, be like, oh, I can help with that. I can do that. Can I assist you with that? Can we make a relationship? I have time. I'll be happy to do that for you. Build a relationship. Don't be like, I want. I'm a millennial. I want. No. But no, it is about relationships, guys. If you overhear a conversation, man, a great example, I had a problem with CenterPoint. The gentleman next to me, at the table next to me, is like, I have a solution. Call and offer to pay it. And when they figure out their affiliation, they give you the money back. If you can find solutions for other people or vice versa, I'll remember that next time I see him. Hey, how's it going? It's great seeing you again.
What is CenterPoint?
Gas company.
Gas.
Okay, thank you.
What is it here?
Is it here?
Oh. Yeah, CenterPoint has a monopoly in Texas. Yeah. Yeah, there is no other gas company in Texas. It's CenterPoint. They have monopoly, and they basically do whatever they want. Okay, shut us down during freezing weather, which 80% of Texans have no idea what below freezing was. But ask how long they've been in business. They're brand new. Hey, you can learn from each other, honestly. You're still learning new things. Don't be afraid to learn something from somebody new, because they might be going to some different meetings. They might be more active in the market somehow or some way. They're learning. They need to figure out their way, too. But do you personally know them? Have you worked with them? Have you heard of them before? I've been known to, when I got involved in doing some private money with my husband, we've been known to ask some of the vets about loaning to certain people and how we feel about it. We got talked out of some situations that could have really hurt us. So, do you personally know them? Do you know somebody that does? As a lender, you get to pick your title company and your insurance. But I'll be the first one to tell you, they're like, so we're having some issues with the title company. You may want to call them. Or we haven't heard anything from your insurance company. If you only got a quote, you may want to find somebody else. I don't typically like to make recommendations in the office unless I personally use them. That is my stance, because I don't want to recommend somebody I've never used, because they still might be crap. They might have a good reputation, but they may not do great for you. So take hints in this industry, because not everybody wants to be like, oh, yeah, no, not them. Not them. Like, yeah, we're having some issues. You may want to look elsewhere. So when it comes to loaning money, so like I said, it goes back to kind of some private investing. Does their business model work? I hear some crazy, crazy things that people are trying to do. I've heard some wild, unique situations and unique opportunities that it makes me scratch my head, like, in what world do you think that will work? To the others of, It's curious. Look at the research. Look what they've done. Look at their history. Does their business model make sense? When it says, do they think and operate, basically, will they fight through a tough time? Are they fighters? Are they someone that's going to back down at the first sight of trouble? Are they going to fight for their business? Because if they're not going to fight for their business, why would they fight for you? Are they spread too thin to focus on your deal? Dealing with a broker and one of his clients, he had a massive development in California, had three projects going on in Michigan, had projects in New York and New Jersey, had some in Ohio. Guys, do you think he's keeping track of all that? I know I wouldn't want to. But that's insane. He spreads across the entire nation in multi-million dollar developments. He's probably not going to be very, or he or she is not going to be very focused on your deal. Which, that might be you're making the time, you're bringing the time and the energy into that relationship, but, and that might work out well as a partnership. Do they live and run their personal lives frugally? Nobody take offense. If you do, I apologize. But when I first started into the real estate spectrum, I would walk into rooms in Houston and Dallas, and you would have the Chanel bags and the Vuitton shoes and everybody kind of being all snooty, like, you can't touch me. Honey, I don't want to talk to you. You are not the person I want to talk to. I want to talk to people that are responsible with their money, that are responsible and approachable. If you're not approachable, good luck making relationships. Or you make relationships with all the same Joe Smoes out there. You have to build your team. You have to be dynamic. This is a dynamic industry that spans so many diverse problems and asset classes. So I want to talk to somebody that, yeah, I may like nice things. I like to travel. I like to make sure I have a quality purse. Doesn't mean I'm spending thousands on it, but I like to make sure I have some I like quality. Quality over quantity. You pull up to one of my houses in an exotic car, I'd be like, nice to see you. So just keep that in mind when you're at these meetings. I say everybody here is always approachable. I mean, this is one of our favorite meetings to come to. Because you guys are approachable. You guys are doers. And you guys come from it's not just Cincinnati. I've met people all the way from California and Texas, and somebody else was from Hawaii. People only come to these type of meetings from those places when they're doers. So just a closing remarks. I love this saying. It's easy to make money in good times. You build your wealth in the bad. What do I mean by that? Anybody?
So you make your money when you buy stuff, not when you sell it.
No. There's more opportunity in the bad time. Because a lot of people get scared. A lot of people see what's happening in the market. I've seen it with other lenders. I've seen it with investors. I've seen a lot of people drying up, tucking the tail and running. And the next year to 2 years is going to be the time to actually buy undervalued property. We are currently focusing on commercial. They're wrong. Our residential will always be our baby. But we're actually focusing on commercial. We're in the commercial sector for a reason. Just like it may be close to time to buy in apartments again. It has been time to buy apartments since about 2008. We're about there. So figure out what you guys want to do. Figure out how you want to build your portfolio, whether that's a portfolio of houses, apartments, buildings, syndications, funds, however. Yes, sir.
Long story short, what are syndications? I've heard that term, but...
Syndications are funds that basically they're syndicated by other, like, they're rapid changing. Basically, they're, I'm not the best to explain this.
REITs?
Go for it.
Okay. So when you go buy $1 million property, you get a bank loan of $800,000. You still need the down payment of $200,000. Well, it's hard to find a single investor with $200,000. You can. Okay, but you can't pool money. Well, you can by building a syndication. So if I put in $50,000, I have one share.
Yep.
I need four total shares. So I get 1/4 of the profit.
So like it's a syndication or like an equity position.
Right. Okay. Now the folks who set up the
there's a little bit more legality to syndications, yep.
They get some profit out of it too, so it's not a four-way split, it's about an eight-way split.
Yep, absolutely. I know a little bit more about our funds. So, as you heard at the beginning, I have a lot of titles. So I do my best to try to stay out of some of the spectrums that I don't belong in. We have a lady in our office, Miss Alex Davis. She's our investment specialist. She is phenomenal. But we do have our funds available. We are long-term, short-term. It's an income and a growth fund. I have some more information on it. I believe she has some information on it as well. We do a 20% performance fee. We do not do a management fee. We don't get paid if it doesn't perform. We trust our funds. We like our funds. Our funds have had done us very well. And how this company started, so Tom and Donald were actually business partners. They bought apartments together. And when it was time to sell them, because they're at the height of the market, they sold them. For several millions of dollars. Those millions is how Investor Loan Source started. That is how we opened. We opened on their funds, and then some of their friends came in and invested. And now we opened up funds for everybody else. It is accredited funds currently. We're working on some other options as well because we are consistently growing. But we have never once taken a line of credit. We have never once taken bank money, hedge fund, Wall Street, nothing. Our money has 100% come from investors like yourselves. So if you guys have any questions, like Lisa, we have some sheets on that. Happy to discuss that a little further. Any questions?
You went over your commercial loans. Could you go over your residential ones?
Sure. So I actually ran out of term sheets, but if you want to drop your card or... Yeah. I ran out of term sheets at the table, but we cover short-term, long-term. We do the rehab, and we also offer 5, 20, and 30-year rental loans. They're all DSCR loans, and I'll cover that at the table. But residential is going to start at 1099, 2.75 points. We're not a bank. Interest, 10.99. Guys, we're not a bank. I never claimed to be a bank.
10.99 for long-term or short-term?
Short-term.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, short-term.
What is your long-term rate?
They start, I believe, at 7.99 currently. We have only ever raised our rates twice. We did it once at the beginning of COVID, and we did it once last month after the interest hike. our rates aren't as volatile as everybody else's because we are private money.
I mean, without having a crystal ball, like, how long do you see this inflation lasting? How long do you see these interest rates staying where they're at before they start, easing down?
Year, year and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, they are. I see a year, year and a half. Kind of coming to the election and everything else, there'll be some changes. The slide showed, I think there's going to be more average interest rates than there are going to be low.
Yep.
Yeah. If you don't think that, if you thought 3%, 4%, and 5% is average, you're wrong.
Exactly. It's going to be between 6% and 7%.
Yeah, 6%, 7%.
Yep.
Okay, so here's another loaded crystal ball question. How long is it going to take for these freaking buyers to adjust to the new normal and start buying houses again to where our gorgeous flips aren't sitting for, 5 months?
You did actually answer that.
I did.
In 2 years? There's going to be buyer shock for, now?
But that's why I also showed you that chart. Here's the thing. They're either going to buy it or they're not. They have the money or they don't. If they want it, they want it. Buyer shock's not going to wear off for a hot minute.
Okay.
You've had two generations of people that have had interest rates in the 3s and 4s.
And that's why flips really don't work, because you got to price them low to move them quick, and if you price them so low, there's not enough need.
Yep.
So what about doing wholesale, fix all the majors, new paint, carpet, and they start with a bunch of equity? Could those move?
Why not?
Sure.
My piece of advice that you should always keep in mind, no matter what market it is have multiple extra strategies.
Yep.
Now more than ever, but if you don't have multiple extra strategies going into this market, you might not do so well. Yes, ma'am?
So, if your strategy is to, buy, fix, and then refi, on average, how can we, factor of, because obviously we're going to have to refinance down the road,
mm-hmm.
Just estimate, what do you think that we should factor in, if interest rates go up, what should we have in mind?
That has more to do on the buy.
Okay.
I would keep in mind, because if you're buying it right and you're kind of looking at the market, if you know there's a chance that it's going to take a little bit of a dive, buy it right. And if you can't get the seller to sell it where you need it to be, walk away. There's going to be risky deals. Not every deal is going to be a home run. But there's going to be ballpark ones. And those might be ballpark where you're getting a good deal at the time and you need to refinance it. Keep in mind, you may not get any money out, but you can get a long-term loan. And you hold it until you can. That's a great opportunity, though. Because if you buy it right and you can afford not to refinance it right away or refinance or cash out, you can hold it. Which is,
we had an example of just that. We bought it, right, paid using private investors. We financed it this past May. It calculated out the appraisal value was $90,000. We wanted $40,000, which included the closing costs, and that's what they gave us.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we're not going to do it. 70% loan to value, because that puts the value at his property, which it's above what it normally would be valued at. Oh, if you look at the last 4 years, because the house I'm talking about is 100 years old, so if you look at that.
It's not quite a war zone, but it's.
If you look at the value of the property, you're like, it's not worth $90,000. I'm like, no, it's not. I don't want $90,000 loan. Just refinance what I've got out in it, please. And that's a smart strategy, because then our cash flow can more than pay for the loan, even if rents drop by 100 or 200.
Yep. And I don't foresee rents dropping.
But then with that in mind, how do we keep on growing and buying the next property? We're just gonna kinda be stuck with that one property. Because my strategy is like the burn method, like mm-hmm. buy distress, fix it up, refinance it, get the money out so I can buy something else. Mm-hmm. Like how do I grow?
It is tough. Raise capital.
Okay.
Get partners. Get equity partners. Because like I said, kind of when you're overhearing conversations, so you telling me that you might need an equity partner, somebody in this room might understand your model and really like your model and want to partner with you. That's how you grow. I say, doing it on your own, you need a team. That team can cover your time. That team can cover money. That team can cover due diligence. It can cover a lot that it's really hard for one person to do. So that's making those relationships and getting those partnerships. Because you can't do anything without a partnership.
What is the origination fee?
They start at 2.75 and go up to 4 points depending on credit. And we, like I said, you heard me say credit twice now. Like I said, we only do soft pulls, and we're only doing it to place you within our terms. Something a little bit more unique about us is, yes, we have our box. We like our box. We have our rehab box. We have our rental loan box. But we're constantly changing it. We're doing an entire revamp of our products next month. We currently offer portfolio loans, vacation loans. We offer whatever loans that makes sense in the market and makes sense for investors.
You guys provide transactional funding for closes?
Not currently. We are working on it. We have partnered up with a couple people to test it out and pilot it. We're working out some legalities, and if we can get everything, all the kinks worked out, it could possibly be available at the beginning of the year.
A lot of these wholesalers are scumbags. If you're trying to assign something.
Yep. Yeah. So, and that's the funny thing about us is we need the original contract too. And there's been multiple occasions that I have went back to the original buyer. I've called them because obviously their contact information is on there. And told them, hey, good luck wholesaling this deal because your wholesale fee is killing it. If you want to have your buyer, your assigner, actually purchase it and get this loan done, I would recommend lowering it. I've had greedy brokers trying to charge 6-7% on a commercial deal, which is acidine, by the way. Most commercial brokers charge anywhere from 0.5 point to possibly 3 at max. Most of the time, it's not even more than 2. It's right about 1, which I talked them down to. But just be aware of your market, be aware of your surroundings, be aware of your people. Get to build your team, your relationships. Pay attention to this information. Pay attention to where it's going. One of my other mentors, one of her favorite things to say is, Wayne Gretzky wasn't one of the greatest at all because he skated to where the puck was. He was skating to where the puck was going. Makes sense. Nice analogy. Always appreciate when she says that. Is there any other questions? All right. Well, I will be at the table. Unfortunately, like I said, we do have a flight to catch, so we do have a little bit limited bit of time, but I'm happy to take any other questions at the table.